So we'll discuss some Inyanei Chanukah as we celebrate the first night of Chanukah. Since tonight is Wednesday night, we're quickly approaching Shabbos. And on Shabbos, we know we have some potential issues of preferences, because we all know on Friday, every Friday night, we light the Shabbos candles. However, on Chanukah, we have to light Chanukah candles and Shabbos candles. And similarly, when Shabbos is over, we have Havdalah, and we have the Ner Chanukah. So we have to discuss in terms of the preference, which one do we light first? Do we light Ner Chanukah first? It's two separate questions. We'll begin with Ner Shabbos or candles or Ner Chanukah. And then similarly, after Shabbos, do we make Havdalah first? Or do we do Ner Chanukah first? Those are the two questions. So let's start off with the first one. What do we do first? For comes Friday. Do we light Shabbos candles or Chanukah candles? How come?
Because you can't light them on Shabbos.
Right, so people assume, perhaps correctly, that you cannot light, it seems to be obvious, you have to light Shabbos candles first, and then Chanukah candles, because how could you light Chanukah candles on Shabbos? So the truth is you can light Chanukah candles on Shabbos, but it's not so simple. So the assumption a person is making is that when you light Shabbos candles, you are accepting Shabbos, which is normally the way we assume. However, strictly speaking, we don't follow that opinion. In other words, let's say a person wants to light Shabbos candles and then drive to shul. So there are those opinions who say once you light Shabbos candles, it's an automatic acceptance of Shabbos. But that's not the opinion we follow. We follow the opinion that one is permitted to make a stipulation. So again, so if it's a woman or let's say a man who normally accepts Shabbos by lighting candles, so then if you don't say anything, the assumption is you're accepting Shabbos. But if you have in mind, when you light Shabbos candles, you're going to drive to shul or do something else, so then we assume it's okay. If a person normally isn't the one who lights the Shabbos candles, let's say his wife usually lights Shabbos candles, but his wife is away one week and he wants to light candles, so they point out that he doesn't have to make any special stipulation. The assumption is he never accepts Shabbos through lighting candles, so therefore this time either. So really it's not so simple. One can in theory light Chanukah candles before Shabbos. I guess there's no reason to do it. To light Shabbos candles and drive to shul, that makes sense, because once it's Shabbos, you can't drive to shul anymore. But in terms of what's the gain of lighting Chanukah candles after. So we're going to get into the different principles in terms of, because on one hand, Shabbos is something more frequent, but near Chanukah, as we'll see, has publicizing the miracles. That's what we're going to get into. We'll explain a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis 23b, and then we'll come back and get down to our issue at hand. What is the order? So again, the minig is, I'll give you the bottom line, then I'll explain it. Well, the bottom line is, the minig is Friday, we light first Chanukah candles, as you said, and then Shabbos candles. However, after Shabbos, there are many minhagim that people at home do different things. At shul, the minhag seems to be you light Chanukah candles first, then Havdalah. But at home, there are different minhagim. My minhag is I do Havdalah to end Shabbos, then I light Chanukah candles. But we'll see both opinions are acceptable, and you can continue following your minhag because you have great rabbis on both sides of the coin. So I'm not coming to tell you what to do, whatever your minhag is, because either way you have what to rely on. What I'm coming to do is to explain what's the issue at hand, what's the reason for each position, And then you, whatever your family minhag is, or you ask your local rav what to do, you can work that out. So there's a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Pshitali. It's obvious to me that if you have someone who is ani, someone impoverished, fortunately it's not a 21st century question, but unfortunately, and even unfortunately, it might have been times in Jewish history we have been afflicted in poverty. And even if we weren't, that's just the nature of the Gemara. The Gemara always asks the extreme case, and then it gives, and we learn principles. So therefore, even if it wasn't true, we want to know what to do if it was true. So even if it wasn't a specific question, we want to know what the principle was. If it did happen, therefore we learned from that case other principles. So the Gemara wants to know, if you only have enough money for near Beso or near Chanukah, in other words, if you only have enough money to buy Chanukah candles or Shabbos candles, what do you do? What gives? You have to make a call on precedence. Which one takes preference?
Shabbos.
Why?
That is a holy day.
That is true. So we know Shabbos has more Kedusha. Chanukah, it doesn't really have Kedusha. There's no prohibition of doing work on Chanukah. People go to work. There is a minhag. Some have a custom not to do work while the Chanukah candles are lit. But that's just a mere custom. There's no biblical prohibitions. You can do anything you want on Chanukah that you can do all year round. There's no prohibitions. So therefore, we know Shabbos, and Shabbos is biblical. It's in the Torah. We know it's one of the holiest days of the year. So therefore, that is true. But does that necessarily mean that near Shabbos is only one aspect of Shabbos? So even though that might be true, that's not the reason the Gemara gives. It is true that Shabbos is more Kedusha, more sanctity than Chanukah, but that perhaps might not be relevant to whether near Shabbos or near Chanukah, which one went to. The Gemara gives another reason, a very pragmatic reason. And if you're married, you know this reason. You light Shabbos candles because of Shalom Bayis, peace of household. As the Gemara tells us, Rashi writes, that the reason why we have lights in our house on Shabbos, there's nothing worse than if you're walking in the dark, you stub your toe, it creates a certain tension, and therefore, it causes tension in the house and fighting. And near Shabbos is about Shalom Bayis. So we want to have light in the house to bring joy. And as we know, as Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one of the great rabbis, he was known for his Shalom Bayis. So he said, he was walking home from shul one day, he knocked on his door. He was about to walk into his own house, and he fixed his tie and hat. So the student said, Rebbe, what are you doing? You're going home. Like, are you expecting guests? He said, yes, I'm expecting guests. As our rabbis tell us, when there's peace in the home, then the Shechina is Shora, the Divine Presence lives there. But when there's fighting, you're destroying God's name, you're sending God away. And yeah, that's the whole purpose of, not the whole purpose, but one of the main purposes of Ner Shabbos, the importance of Shalom Bayis. As I always point out, the mezuzah, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether we put up the mezuzah horizontal or vertical, upright, or do we have it sideways. So our minhag, so we do something we usually don't do. We compromise. We put it on a slant. Except if you're a Sephardi, some Sephardim put it standing up. And that seems to be the minhag in Jerusalem, the minhag Hagra. But what's the basis for the minhag Ashkenaz? Why do we put it on a slant? In other words, we don't fulfill any opinion. Like, why are we compromising here? So the commentators explain, because what's the first thing you do when you walk into a Jewish home? You see the mezuzah. Oh, why is the mezuzah on a slant? Because it teaches us a very important lesson, the lesson of compromise. If you want Shalom Bayis, that's the first thing you have to know, is you have to compromise. It can't be, it's my way or the highway. It's not going to work. In any, whether it's husband and wife, parents and children, or just good old roommates, is you have to realize you all have to compromise to get along. So that's the thing. We look at the mezuzah when we walk in our home, and we see it's on a slant because we learn we have to compromise. Shalom bayis. And that's what the Gemara tells us here. Near Shabbos takes precedence over near Hanukkah because near Shabbos is shalom bayis, and therefore it takes. So that's what the Gemara is. If you only have enough money to buy near Shabbos or near Hanukkah, near Shabbos wins. Then the Gemara says, okay, what about the next question? Near Hanukkah, the Kiddush Hayom. You only have enough money to buy Hanukkah candles or enough money to buy wine for Kiddush? What takes precedence? What gets Kadima? Which one wins?
Hanukkah candles.
Why?
Because you can use water instead of wine.
You can?
Yes, you said that once before.
I hope I didn't say that. I hope you're quoting someone else, not me. So, but you say you're right and you're wrong. You got the right answer, but for the wrong reason. That the answer is near Hanukkah, but you can't use water. Water is not a drink you can use for Kiddush. I never said you could use water for Kiddush. I might have said you could use Chamar Medina, the drink of the town, which could be beer, coffee, tea, maybe soda, juice, depending on different opinions. But water is definitely out. You can't use water. It's not, you need something chusher, something...
Fruit juice,
yeah. Again, so it goes like this. Depends what Kiddush we're talking about. Friday night, you either have to use wine or grape juice. Again, anything which is boe pri hagafen, that's considered wine for our purposes. So wine is wine. If you use grape juice, you have to be careful to use the appropriate grape juice. What I mean is if you buy Kedem grape juice or some other ones, make sure you see on the back of the container, or on the front for that matter, kosher, this is good for Kiddush and the four cups of wine on Pesach. Because certain other grape juice are kosher, but it doesn't say it, so I'm still in the middle of checking it out. But I'm questioning whether those grape juices are kosher for Kiddush or for Havdalah. Well, Havdalah doesn't have to be wine, so you could use it for Chama Medina, but to use it for Kiddush because perhaps it's too much water. I haven't got to have to check. We're making a call up to different. One is like the Star K they give on the Ceres grape juice. So Rabbi Eisenstein said he's going to call them up and find out. My concern is that there's too much water in it for it to constitute, halachically speaking, grape juice. If it's not grape juice, it probably wouldn't be a boy pri hagafen either. So I'd stay away from those for now. You know, if we check it out and it's okay, then it's good. But I can't imagine they wouldn't put kosher fidalid kosis on it if it was. It's probably a lot more expensive to make, so we'll have to come back to that. But regardless, you have two options. You have to either make a boy pri hagafen Friday night, or let's say you don't have wine or grape juice, so you make Kiddush over challah. What you do is you wash your hands before Kiddush, and in the place where you usually would say Bo'er Pri HaGafen, you'd say instead of it, Hamotzi Lechem Min HaAretz, you finish off Kiddush and you eat. That's what you do Friday night. Shabbos lunch, which is only rabbinical Kiddush, so then it's best to use wine, but if not, you could use Chamar Medina, the drink of the town. And therefore, then the question is, then you could use different juices in that. But that would only be for Shabbos lunch, Shabbos morning Kiddush, and also for Havdalah, but it wouldn't for Friday night, you wouldn't. And, but water is never good. It could be fruit juices in that, and tea, coffee, other things, but it can't be water. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, if you only have enough money to buy wine to buy wine for Kiddush or candles for Hanukkah, the Gemara says you buy candles for Shabbos, for Hanukkah. Why? Because there's two conflicting principles here. On one hand, You have the principle of Pirsume Nisa, that the Hanukkah candles represent publicizing of the miracle. On the other hand, Kiddush happens more frequently. So we have the principle of Tadir, Vishaino Tadir, Tadir Kodam. Something, if there's a conflict of two things, of something which is frequent, something which isn't frequent, and like every morning, I have a talis to put on and I have tefillin to put on. So I put on my talis first, because talis I wear every day of the year. Tefillin I only wear most of the days of the year. We don't wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I do wear it on Chol Hamoed because I'm Ashkenaz. So, but nevertheless, talis is more frequent, so you first should make put on the talis, then tefillin. So which principle wins? So the Gemara tells us we have our order. Near Shabbos wins because of Shalom Bayis. If you only have enough money for one, you buy candles for Shabbos because of peace of household. Secondly, is near Hanukkah because of publicizing the miracle. And thirdly, you have wine for Kiddush. That's the order. Okay. So Tosis on the top of Chav Gimel and Beis raises an interesting question on what we're saying. We see from this Gemara, if there's a conflict between the principle of publicizing the miracle versus the principle of tadir v'sheino tadir, something which happens more frequent, to which principle wins? Publicizing the miracle, because we see near Hanukkah wins, right? So Tosis is going to point out the following problem. Because what happens, we know when, let's say Shabbos Hanukkah, and let's say Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Hanukkah. So Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Hanukkah, we take out three Sifrei Torah, three Torah scrolls. What do we read the first? Parsha Shavua. We read the weekly portion. Then we have two other things to read. We have Rosh Chodesh to read and we have Hanukkah. Which one do we read first? Do we read about Rosh Chodesh first? Or do we read about Hanukkah first? What would you say?
Rosh Chodesh.
Why?
Because Rosh Chodesh is very important.
That is true. I can't argue with that. But Rosh Chodesh is saying Rosh Chodesh is more frequent. Rosh Chodesh happens every month, sometimes twice a month. Well, we observe it twice a month anyway, some months. But Hanukkah is only eight times a year. So what do we say? So let me just tell you what you're right. The bottom line is we read Rosh Chodesh, then Hanukkah. The Tosfos asks, the Rishonim asks, that's against our Gemara. Because we just finished saying, if you have a conflict between publicizing the miracle versus something which happens more often, which principle takes precedence? We said publicizing the miracle takes precedence. We said we buy the candles for Hanukkah instead of wine for Kiddush. Yet we see the way how we practice, our minig is against it. We read first Rosh Chodesh and then Hanukkah. Based on the principle of the Gemara, we should read Hanukkah first, Pirsume Nisa, publicizing the miracle, and then Hanukkah, and then Rosh Chodesh. Why do we, it seems to go, so how do we reconcile our practice with the Gemara? You hear the question? From the Gemara we said what takes precedence, the principle of publicizing the miracle. That's why if you only have enough money, you buy candles for Hanukkah and not wine for Kiddush. So we see publicizing the miracle outweighs frequency. Yet, when it comes to reading on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, we go with the frequent one. We read first Rosh Chodesh, then we read Hanukkah. So we see the frequency outweighs Pirsume Nisa.
What do you read for Hanukkah? That's not in the
Chumash. Actually, it's a good point. You would think it's not because, Hanukkah is post-biblical, but we do have a reading. In fact, the Gemara, the Mishnah Megillah tells us what to read on Hanukkah. So there is a reading on Hanukkah, albeit it's only rabbinical. In fact, interesting, while we're on it, we read about the dedication of the temple, which is Hanukkah, which is an interesting Ramban, Nechmanides writes, there's an allusion to Hanukkah in the Torah, even though, because when Aaron was upset, so God said, don't worry, the Kohanim, don't worry, there'll be a time when you'll be able to light, you'll be able to light the menorah. So the Ramban points out that was an allusion to Hanukkah time. So even though Hanukkah is only rabbinical, but the Ramban has some allusions to it. But you're right. So we read about the dedication of the temples and all that. So how do we reconcile the two principles? So the first answer is as follows. One school of thought is it's no kashif, no contradiction at all. It depends what we're talking about. Are we talking about either or? Are we talking about doing both? Which one first? So the Gemara's case was you had to make a choice. You only could do one mitzvah. Which one do you do? So that way the Gemara says, persume nisa adef. So then persume nisa, you go publicizing the miracle, beats out frequency. But if I'm going to do both anyway, so then we do the more frequent one first. That's the first school of thought. It's no contradiction. If you're choosing one or the other, then you go by publicizing the miracle. But if I'm doing both, the question is which one comes first, so then we do the one which is more frequent, that takes precedence. And therefore, if I only have enough money to buy candles for Hanukkah or wine for Kiddush, so I buy candles for Hanukkah because it's publicizing the miracle, because I'm only doing one. But if I'm going to do both, I have a Torah. I'm going to read both. Do I read Rosh Chodesh first, or do I read Hanukkah first? So we read Hanukkah, we read Rosh Chodesh first, because then we're doing both. It's just a matter of precedent, of order. And so that's one approach. They're really the two different principles. There's no conflict at all. And the other school of thought says no. Persume nisa adef always wins. We always go with publicizing the miracle. That always takes precedence. If it always takes precedence, so why am I reading on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah? Why am I reading Chanukah after Rosh Chodesh? Right? Why am I reading it after? So the answer is because this says Chanukah takes precedence. So 90% of the time, being first is more important. But certain times we even have a colloquial saying, Achron, Achron, Chaviv. The last one is more cherished. Why is that true in this case? Because the halacha is, you read the Haftorah from the last thing you lain. So if we did first Chanukah, then we read from Rosh Chodesh, we'd have to do the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh. But since Chanukah is Persume Nisa, takes precedence, so we specifically push Chanukah to the end, because it's more important, so we can read the Haftorah. So the two totally different schools of thought on conflicting principles. The first school of thought was, it depends. Either or, if I'm making a choice, I only could do one now, so then publicizing the miracle takes precedence. But if I'm doing both, the question is which one comes first? So then Tadir. The second school of thought says no. Publicizing the miracle always works, always comes, always takes precedence. It says takes precedence, doesn't mean it always comes first. It depends. If being first is better, then it's going to come first. If being last is better, it's going to be last. So therefore, if it's a choice of only doing one mitzvah, then it's going to come first, and we're going to buy candles for Hanukkah. But if I'm doing both, and the question is which, and I want to read the Haftorah of Hanukkah, so here it's better to be last, and we put Hanukkah at the end. One last question on this would be, what about during the week? If Rosh Chodesh falls out during the week, what do we do? So we read Rosh Chodesh and then Hanukkah. So according to the first school of thought, it makes sense, because this is a case of doing both. So according to school number one, you do the one which is more frequent, and then you do the one which publicizes the miracle. But according to school number two, the second school of thought, How do we explain there is no Haftorah during the week? So why do we read Rosh Chodesh before Hanukkah? And the answer is because there's no publicizing the miracle in the Torah reading. It's the Haftorah. We read about Neiros Zechariah, the candles of Zechariah. But during the week, there is no publicizing the miracle, so therefore it's just frequent versus nothing, so frequent wins. We just read the Torah and Hanukkah, but it has nothing to do with publicizing the miracle. So it comes out like this. So we have two schools of thought. Whether Pirsumei Nisa Adif always wins, or no, it depends. If we're doing both, so then Tadir wins. If we're only doing one, so this leads us to our question of the evening. We wanted to know, so we said the custom is on Friday night, even though it's not so simple, but the custom is that we light Hanukkah candles before Shabbos. But if you thought it was the reverse order and you lit Shabbos candles without having intent, with having specific intent not to accept Shabbos, then no problem, you go light Hanukkah candles now. But the minhag is, I've never seen anyone light Shabbos candles. Then Hanukkah, the minhag is you light Hanukkah, and then we accept the Shabbos. But the major question is Saturday night. As I said, the different customs, you can't lose. You go home, some people light Hanukkah candles first, and some light do Havdalah first. What is the issue at hand? So the issue at hand seems to be a no-brainer. Persume Nisa, Adef the Gemara says, publicizing the miracle takes precedence, so therefore it should be a no-brainer. You should light Hanukkah candles and then do Havdalah. So how do you explain then a school of thought that says first you light Havdalah and then you do near Hanukkah? That depends on this issue we've discussed this evening. According to school number one, since we're going to do both, so which one wins? Tadir. You're going to do them both. The question is, what's the order? So you do Tadir first. And therefore, you do first Havdalah, and then you do near Hanukkah. But according to the opinion that says near Hanukkah wins, so obviously that's going with the second school of thought, that Persume Nisa Adif wins all the time. And in this case, it's a choice between, even if it's either or, even if you're going to do both. But Persume Nisa Adif means you do it first as well, unless there's some reason like a Haftorah why you don't. So that's the school of thought that says you'd go home first and you light Hanukkah candles. So again, so the minhag in shul is we light Hanukkah candles and then we do Havdalah. And in minhag at home, both work. My minhag, if you ask me, I tell you to light Havdalah first and Shabbos, or in this case, and then light your Hanukkah candles. It's interesting, it's kind of a compromise, lahalacha, that in shul we light Hanukkah candles first before Havdalah, but at home we light Havdalah before Hanukkah candles. And it could be because, what is the reason why we light Hanukkah candles in shul at all? It's a very difficult practice to light candles in shul, as we just did a half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. Because the halacha is, you have to light Hanukkah candles in your home. So some point out, and I'll accept it, that there was a time in Jewish history when we were afflicted with poverty, and even if we weren't afflicted with poverty, there were people who lived in the shul. The poor people lived in the synagogue. So if that was the case, so then it makes sense to, if you were lighting for those people who lived in the shul, so then you could argue it makes sense. But generally speaking, today, people don't live in the shul, and it's not your home. So everyone agrees you can't fulfill your mitzvah by lighting in shul. So what do we light in shul for? And in fact, there's a practice today among others, and the Lubavitch make it famous. They light, even not in shul, they light at City Hall, they light at Fortino's. Other people like lighting in at a wedding, at a public gathering. Some people feel at any public gathering you could light.
We saw on television, California, they were having a public lighting.
Oh, see, yeah. So what is there any basis for that? So, because really, it's the chiddush to say you could light even in. So really, the luck is to fulfill your mitzvah, you have to light here. You have to light at home. If you light in shul and don't light home, you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah. You fulfilled the custom here, but you haven't got the mitzvah of near Hanukkah, because you have to light in your home. So, okay, so but still, even though you light at home, we still light in shul. What is that based on? So there are different schools of thought. So as I mentioned, one is because poor people used to live here. Okay, another school of thought is Rav Soloveitchik's school of thought, it's specifically in the Beis HaKnesses, in the shul, between Mincha Ma'ariv, because it's a zechel of Mikdash. Since Chanukah candles remind us of the miracle of the Mikdash, so therefore it's the Beis HaKnesses, the shul is a miniature temple, and the only time the rabbi said was to light in shul in between Mincha and Ma'ariv. That's what Rav Soloveitchik says. Others write the reason why the shul was picked is because it was a public place. We want to get as many people involved in the miracle as possible in the mitzvah of Pirshumei Nisa. And in fact, interesting to note, some point out, when did this, there's no mention of this practice in the Gemara about lighting in shul. It's a later practice. When did it develop? So some want to speculate, you know, when it started. It used to be we used to light candles outside, but because of the time of danger, we moved it inside our house. So someone has suggested when we moved them, that's when the custom developed. So whether it's true or not, it's an interesting explanation anyway. So, let's call it two schools of thought. There are more answers, but we'll give a separate share on that topic. But if you say, like Rav Soloveitchik, that it was a special takana to light in shul, and specifically between Mincha and Ma'ariv, so you guess that Rav Soloveitchik was very against the practice of lighting at City Hall, lighting at a banquet, at a wedding, anywhere. It wasn't nothing specific about City Hall. There's only two places you could light: in your home to get the mitzvah, and there was a special minute to light in shul because a shul is a miniature temple. And others clearly work, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and others clearly work that it seems to be publicizing the miracle seems to be the reason for lighting in shul. So unfortunately, we know there aren't that many people in shul today. There are more people in City Hall or somewhere else. So therefore, some have a practice that they light in City Hall and other places, because they think it's in, that they're working with that school of thought that the purpose is to publicize the miracle. So there are different minhagim. I think, you know, most assume the majority opinion is probably against lighting anywhere except in shul and home. However, you have the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I'm sure some others who say, based on Pirshumei Nisa, they feel not only can they feel it's a good thing to light in a place where there are more people, and it wasn't just limited to shul. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to publicize the miracle, and therefore you can even light in public places.